the morning. Started out just in time for that truck to come by. 9:51, August the 5th, 2016, still. Back half of the year, well underway. It's, the heck is it? Friday? Must be. Yesterday was trash day, so yesterday must have been Thursday, which makes today Friday. Yesterday I didn't walk, so I'm a little bit confused. Now let me rephrase that. I'm a little bit more confused than normal. It was one of those days where I slept in, I was cranking away, and just did not want to go out into the sun and the heat. And today, I was also slept in. That's because I'm staying up too late working on this book. This book is just consuming me. I love it. I love it. I'm halfway through the betas. The beta feedback has been excellent. And I'm about halfway through the book with the beta feedback. To straighten it out, there's a lot of the typo reports and stuff are going to be I'll go back through and pick them off as they appear, but so many of the words are changing that I don't know how many of them will still be there. Yes, the cover has a typo. Cover has several typos. Or someone pointed out the new covers that came from Podium, which I posted on the Golden Age of the Solar Clipper Facebook group. One of them has a typo in the pull quote from the review. And yes, it's spelled wrong in the review. They pulled it anyway and put it on the cover. We're having a discussion about spaceships. There are no spaceships on these covers. There must be spaceships on the covers because it's space opera. Timothy Ellis makes a really, really good case that for many, many, perhaps the majority of space opera fans, if it doesn't have a spaceship on the cover, they're not interested. And I understand it, I get that. But as I posted this morning, I've got two problems. One, I need a cover that can stand up against a comparison with the Michael Sullivan covers, at least the first three. The Tinker cover, the double share cover with the Tinker with no can on it, that was a bust. But the first three were spectacular. They were excellent. And the problem is those books are still visible. So if I put a Klugeev spaceship on the cover, if I put even just, oh yeah, that's a spaceship, okay, cover, it's going to go, well, that one was so much better. I mean, the quarter share cover, I share the quarter share cover in the Japanese edition, which comes from a painting that, what the heck is his name? Simon Bouvier? His initials are SB. I remember that much. But he painted that in 2006. And it shows a guy in a big bulky spacesuit with a helmet, standing looking out over a field with a shuttlecraft getting ready to launch vertically. Another one in the distance taking off. And that's a great picture. It really is. Nothing at all to do with the story. And, you know, if I wanted covers that had nothing to do with the story, I'd go try it. Good morning. And what good is it to have the creative control if you make the same silly mistakes that Chad's make? So, yeah, I have to have great ships. I have to have great art. The art that's there now, it's okay. At the time, I couldn't really afford the time it would take to find a new cover artist. Dan Sawyer did a really good job. They are what I wanted for the covers. They're still what I want for the covers. They make a very, in a group, they make a nice statement as he moves further and further out. Now, will most people catch that connection? Probably not. At least not, not consciously. That also requires you to understand what it is that you're looking at in its relationship to the cover before and the cover after, which a lot of people just don't have that level of a scientific background to recognize that. Oh, that's, this one's close, that one's further, that one's further yet. And look at this one, it's nothing but galaxies. They must be a long way out. Yes, 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 yes indeed. That's exactly it. A lot of people don't have that. But the other problem is that by supporting the trope, by supporting the notion that a space opera must have a spaceship on the cover, that opens the door to the people who think that space opera must have blood in the scuppers. Space opera must have a war. There has to be some sort of overt, physical, immediate, and highly dangerous conflict. As if getting underway in a tin can and sailing for God knows how far. Isn't dangerous enough. Yes, the ships are characters. Yes, the Lois is definitely a character. The Tinker, the ship not so much. The Iris, definitely. The Agamemnon, I think it might be. I'm not, it doesn't have the same, it doesn't have the same pull for me that, the Lois does. But the Lois had three books. The Iris had almost as many words as the Lois. So the thing is I really don't need every single possible sale, particularly when my fear, and it's nothing more than fear, I will grant. My fear is that people who see the tropes on the cover are going to be disappointed when the tropes they're expecting aren't inside. I already get enough. It's a joke, nothing happens. Nathan Lowell writes books where nothing happens. It's boring. It's an economic treatise. It's, if you want to know how to sell in the flea market, yeah, go for it. But other than that, it's just boring. Nothing happens. This nothing happens is there's no war. There are no fights. There are no space battles. There are no, it's not military science fiction. And the difficulty is that there are a lot of people who equate military science fiction with space opera. They're actually the same for them. And my point, the point of writing the books to begin with, is no, actually I think space opera is different. I think space opera is different. I think space opera can be different. I don't write military science fiction yet. You won't find my books under military science fiction. I won't post them there. They don't go there. It's not what I'm interested in writing. So my fear, and it's really nothing but fear, and I freely admit it. My fear is that, yeah, I pick up another 50% readers. Half of them hate the book. I don't need people bad-mouthing the book. I need people who love the book. People who love the book are more likely to be the people who are going to look at the cover and say, okay, and read it. And move on from there. I still get a ridiculous number of people who say, oh, nothing happened. I think Ashes now has sprouted its own crop of one stars where the big conflict is everybody gets a sponge. Yes. Yes, that's it exactly. The big conflict is everybody gets a sponge. I had one guy call that ending a cliffhanger. And I suppose, maybe, the blurb probably set up an expectation that didn't actually appear in the book. The ship is Dudley. Or was. It's not anymore. It's actually pretty cool right at the moment. It's getting cooler as I write. I haven't picked it up lately. I haven't picked it up since I went over the 25K mark the other day, just because I've been really busy evaluating beta reader feedback and looking at Milk Run to see about getting Milk Run out as soon as possible. It's not going to go to the editor until sometime next week now. I want to go through it. It's going to take me the rest of today, probably most of tomorrow, and that'll give me Sunday to go through it one last time and see if I have bollocks anything else up in correcting the things that I wanted to correct. The issue with the part and whether or not Natalia is too trustworthy, too trusting. Yeah, there are still places where it looks like she's too trusting. I'm leaving them. I'm leaving some of them. I've also hung a lantern on the place where people think that she's just accepting that she's being ripped off. And I've really boosted that up to make it clear to even the casual observer that no, she knows she's being ripped off and recognizes that she really can't do a whole hell of a lot about it. Which was exactly what happened the first time, but in fewer words. So, I'm fixing that up. I've got some rearranging to do for the ending. I've got some rearranging to do in the middle. Natalia shouldn't ever be saved. She can have reinforcements show up, but she shouldn't ever have to be saved. And I realized that ending, she's saved. She takes care of it mostly on her own, but with a little rearrangement, with just a tiny bit of additional work, I can make that ending work the way I need to have it work, and have Natalia be the hero. And then there's the abruptness. I've got some ideas about that. Good morning. I've got some ideas about the abruptness. There's a bunch of little Easter eggs scattered through that last chapter. A couple of people have asked about one of the more obvious ones. That's the biggest one. I won't say the most obvious, or the biggest one that's there. And we'll see how that works out. Considering that I got out very, very late, it's probably after 10 already. The overcast skies, this beautiful breeze, I worked up a sweat walking, but it's not, oh my God, I'm going to die of heat prostration before I make it back to the house. It's quite refreshing. So I'll go back, I'll grab a snack, I'll get some coffee and settle back in and see how far I can get today. I've identified, thanks to some sleuthing from a fan who contacted me on Twitter, the bike is a Fuji. I said 312S. It's because I just looked at it real quick and there's a scrub mark on the crossbar that has taken the middle of the S out. And on a quick glance, it looks like 3. When I get up close to it, I realize it's an S12S. It's not an S12S Limited, it's an S12S. So, I think it's a 1979 Fuji S12S. And I don't know if it's classified as a road or a sport or what. It does have the lightweight tubes, which are probably pretty heavy compared to what lightweight tubes are now, but how long ago was, well, 1980 was 36 years ago, is that right? Holy crap. So the bike is almost 40 years old. If it's either 1980, 1979, I think it's the 1979. I forget now. I looked it up. Fuji has a bike model by year page, which is fascinating. Fascinating. So, yeah, mine isn't the limited edition. Mine is just the S12S. It was an expensive bike. It was like $700 back in the day, $800 back in the day. But it replaced my car. The car that hardly ever ran. And the bike got me pretty much everywhere I needed to go through a lot of the year. I'm sort of feeling like I'm becoming reacquainted with an old friend I've lost contact with over the years, and now we're saying hello again. Oh, I'm almost back. I'm ready for food. I haven't had breakfast yet today. I've had a little bit of coffee. I've had like a cup of coffee. And I'm ready for more coffee. I'm ready for some food. I think I may grab a bagel. She hasn't left. She said she thought she might still be here when I got back. My wife has an appointment in Fort Collins very shortly. So anyway, I'm here at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.